Tupperware, 1950s. Read for you by Angelica Houston. In the life of a woman, as a Dr. Oetker advert from the 1950s would have it, there are two questions: what shall I wear, and what shall I cook? The advert showed a very young woman, 30 at most, sweeping into a kitchen laden with shopping bags. With her long skirt and neat, dark brown bob, she'd clearly achieved the purported life goal of all women. She'd landed herself a husband. But, the advert warned, anyone who thinks she can rest on her laurels has another thing coming. A man wants to be won over anew every day. Can you guess how? Freshly baked cake, of course, because cake will soften a man's heart, so no matter if her new dress costs an extra 100 marks. We know that the lives of housewives in the 1950s and early 1960s were dominated by monotony and melancholy, and at first glance, this object, the Tupperware box, might appear to be just one more nail in the coffin of female freedom. Yet another thing that kept women chained to their kitchens, and only really helped to answer the third question in their lives, what shall I do with the leftovers? We all remember these pastel-colored plastic tubs from childhood. From the kitchens of our grandmothers or very ambitious mothers, the women who started getting ahead with lunch right after breakfast, standing at the stove still in their dressing gowns. Tupperware was an accessory for the housewife, and looked at this way doesn't exactly scream independence and emancipation, but in fact it was the opposite of the vacuum cleaner. Not a camouflaged tool of oppression, but a rather unprepossessing element of emancipation. Or at least it was for the women of 1950s American suburbia. To appreciate this, we must quickly rewind to the beginning. It was shortly after the Second World War and Earl Tupper, a plastics manufacturer from Massachusetts, had just bought up all the plastic left over from the conflict, thinking that an idea for what to do with it was bound to occur to him at some point. And after a few months of trials and experiments, it did. Mr. Tupper found himself holding his very first piece of Tupperware, a feather light bowl with a lid that came off with a Tupperware burp and which pressed out excess air, all made from pastel-hued plastic. Tupper patented his invention, designed a small collection, and in 1949 introduced it to the market as the Millionaire line. As a young man, he'd vowed to be a millionaire by the age of 30. It was a goal he hadn't yet achieved. And at first it looked as though that wasn't about to change. In design terms, people found Tupperware interesting, modern, practical, in keeping with the times. They praised its clean lines and fresh colors, but no one actually wanted to have it in their kitchen. The tubs gathered dust on shop shelves until Browning Wise arrived on the scene and turned Tupper's flop into an incredible success story. Brownie, who apparently shared her name with a cake on account of her big brown eyes, was a single mother in her mid-30s, who'd proved herself capable of selling almost anything as a door-to-door sales rep of household goods. Working for Tupper, she developed her natural marketing talent into a system. Everyone is familiar with Tupperware parties, events at which women got together over cocktails and canapés to have the benefits of Tupperware demonstrated and explained to them. They'd drink a bit, chat, and at the end of the day, high on the lovely afternoon they'd just had, head home with a long Tupperware order form, or even a couple of items already tucked under their arm. In a short space of time, Wise had sold so much Tupperware that production couldn't keep pace. Mr. Tupper, on the other hand, who was no sales genius himself, but clearly recognized one when she was in front of him, made the young woman general manager of home parties, and then allowed Wise to talk him into completely forgetting homeware shops and instead concentrating all their energies on the parties. This is where the emancipatory aspect finally comes into play. It wasn't just Brownie Wise who became such a successful business person that she was the first woman to make it onto the cover of Business Week. Many other women followed suit. All over the USA, ladies who'd been sitting around bored and depressed in their kitchens started to work as freelance Tupperware party hosts. They earned money, more money than they could have in the other jobs open to them, and managed to combine work and family life, kickstarting a revolution that was so quiet and seemingly in keeping with their role that barely any husbands protested. Apparently, there was even the occasional gent who quit his own job to join his wife's Tupperware business, simply because it was so lucrative. Now, at first glance, Brownie Wise and her Tupperware ladies certainly weren't the embodiment of the feminist dream. The items they sold continued to bind women to home and kitchen, but thanks to Wise, who'd given them a job, money, and newfound self-esteem, they were able to fill those spaces with new meaning. Tupperware women didn't have to bake their husbands a cake every time they wanted a new dress. They didn't have to mollify them or beg for anything. If they wanted a new dress, they simply went out and bought it.